Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined by producer Joel.
Hello, host Mark.
You're on the mic. What's happening, Joel? Come on, you got to give us something this week.
Nothing. I just made eye contact with someone across the way.
What?
Which I've never done before.
What? Someone that's sitting in their flat?
Yeah, and they're sort of at a laptop, but they're looking at me.
Yeah,
and naked. What they can see is me stood in my bedroom.
Yeah, no clothes on.
In my pants, holding a microphone.
Can they see all of that? They can't.
Yeah, they can.
Is your bedroom got a full screen? Like, it's not just a window?
It's got a big window. Yeah, it's got a big, big window.
Full-size window.
Full-size, oh yeah, baby.
That gets the entire Joel pod on display.
Yeah, they can't see me ankles down, but... they can imagine. Ooh. Leave a little bit to the imagination.
Bit like a woman of the night in the window in 1980s in Holland, Amsterdam.
My uncle, as a joke, I don't know if I should admit this. My uncle, as a joke, when I was about 9 years old and he had friends coming over and I was staying at his, put me in his window in Deptford and put like a red sheet over a lamp. And yeah.
What? Hang on. Whoa. Yeah. Hang on. What? How old were you?
8 or 9 years old.
How old?
8 or 9, I think.
What? I'm gobsmacked.
So he was looking after me. This is terrible.
Looking after you, in quotation marks.
I was staying at his flat, and he'd obviously... I mean, he's not that much older than me, and it's probably quite... it must be quite boring looking after an 8 year old. And so he'd invited some friends over, and he thought, as a fun prank, it'd be fun to have me posed as a child prostitute in his window.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't want to, there's too much.
I've not really ever thought too much about
I think you should have a good
just
think
how
about
problematic
it now.
That is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blimey. Wow.
I'm getting quite sweaty.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway.
Christ, Joel. Keep it light,
I'll
mate.
I'll give you a little memory from my childhood every episode now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll make that a feature.
Good.
There's nothing more extreme than that, is there?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. So who knows what I've got suppressed?
Did you even know what was happening? What that meant?
No, I don't think I did.
No. Good.
Is it good?
It's good that you didn't know. Like,
yeah, true.
I don't know. I mean, I tell you what, you've sort of blindsided me a little bit there with that.
I blindsided myself.
Oh, God.
God knows what the bloke over the way is thinking.
Yeah. How is your uncle now? Is he enjoying prison?
I actually don't talk to him anymore.
Really? You don't say? And is that the reason you don't talk to him?
Let's move on.
Save that for next week. Oh dear. I haven't really been doing anything, Joel, new. Oh, I did an online gig. That my first online gig. I did some new material at Stuart Goldsmith's Infinite Sofa gig. That was a bit of fun. It's quite good.
Oh, cool.
I quite liked
it. Can people watch that?
Yeah, just go to Stuart Goldsmith's online social media presence. that's a bit weird way of saying it, but
yeah, you sound like a man from the past.
But it's quite good because they have people in the room while you're doing the gig, so you can hear people laughing
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So you're not just sort of telling jokes into the abyss. So no, I really enjoyed that. So go check out all the bits he's doing. Former guest of the show. So you can check his episode out if you haven't heard it already. This week, we have Dane Baptiste.
Hey.
Dane is returning for the second time on the show. And actually, Joel,
we are big fans of Dane.
Yes, we are. And I've bumped him up to the front of the queue. Because I was going to have, because we've recorded loads, and I was going to put people on that haven't been on before first. But Dane, I wanted to bring Dane's episode forward because he's doing a lot of great work on social media at the moment in regard to the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think it's important to draw attention to that. So you can find Dane on Twitter at Dane Bap Tweets. That's the first time I've noticed that handle. I'm actually a bit jealous of that.
It's good, Dane, isn't it? I always think that.
Dane Bap Tweets. I wish, mine's rubbish compared
to
that.
He's nailed it.
But yeah, go check it out. Go check it out. He's got lots of stuff going on over there.
Yeah, 100%. And he's also, if you go and look at Dane's Twitter, that'll lead you on to look at lots of stuff that he's sharing and to read widely about it.
On that note, so if you're someone who's listened to this and sort of thinks to themselves, when people, you hear about white privilege and you think, oh, what's that got to do with me? I'm not racist. I'm nice to everyone. I've read a really good article. Hang on. By Laurie Lakin Hutchison, and it really expresses it well if you don't really understand about that topic. And we'll put that in the description of the podcast so you can go and check it out there.
Yeah, definitely. That'll be in the description, and there'll be a couple of links of places that you can donate if you feel like you're able and want to help a little bit.
Crack in.
But yeah.
So this was recorded, a couple of weeks ago. I think it's a couple of weeks ago. So let's hear some jokes that Dane could not get to work.
I know, but I don't know. I feel like I'm too old to be on TikTok.
Same. Yeah, I think you're too old.
I really am, and that's fine. And I need a real friend that will tell me the truth, actually, so I appreciate you.
We're probably the same age, I think, aren't we, mate?
I don't want to be on... I feel like being on an app where people young enough to be your children are on there, I don't know, it just doesn't seem normal to me.
No, but I don't even understand what it is they're doing. They're just all dancing, aren't they? Why is that good?
Pretty much. It's good because it originated in China and no one wants any discourse which may go against the government. So best for you to not talk and just dance.
Is that actually what it... Oh, right. There you go. Factual as well.
Actually, being a conspiracy theorist, but at the same time, when you take into account how restrictive free speech is in China, a social network which doesn't really allow for any real social discourse sounds like they're out of their street, so...
Yeah, you heard it here first. Good stuff. Oh, yeah, this is good content.
Now, I'm not
mate.
Sure if I should even say
please.
It. I meant, social index. But, you know, everyone's got a...
Your tour in China is cancelled.
Well, pretty much. Everyone's got a, a conspiracy theory. At this time, at the moment as well. It's like my friend said to me the other day, he was like, we were on Instagram live in club quarantine, where there's a new trend on Instagram where people are just like twerking on cameras. So the way it works is that, like, I guess because strippers can't really work right now as well, right? So they'll just twerk on Instagram and have what's called a cash app, which means people can just send them money directly, which you know, is very innovative. And then my friend had remarked, he said he wished the broadband connection was better. And I was like, well, that's why they're bringing in 5G. Because you know, if someone shakes a butt in front of you.
so twerking, what does that mean? So twerking is the dance thing, right? I'm so old.
Yes, it's So it's basically you shake your butt in time with the song,
hoping pay for
to
that.
Make it rain. Yeah, that's how you make it rain, by twerking. And people pay for
that.
Yeah,
should start that. Should I start that?
I've really thought about what kind, where I can find my market position, because I feel like digital sex work might be one of the only still booming industries in this economy. When I said myself, if I put a dick pic out there, I mean, that's like literally like, I mean, that's like farting in the wind, Mark. So I said to myself, you know, what do women prefer more than dicks? A description. Women are sexual creatures as well. They just want some context to like the sex they receive. So What if I read erotica to lonely women and professionals, women in care homes, and I just read them erotica very intensely with the accents?
Yeah. Are you going to write the erotica yourself?
What I might do is I might read pre-existing erotica in like a kind of sexy audiobook, and then if someone has their own piece of erotica, they can send it in to me and I'll read it.
I feel like at a fee.
I mean, it depends. I feel like I maybe at a fee if you want to subscribe to my channel, but I'm also going to provide like concessions for the elderly. Just because just because your ovaries stop working, Mark, doesn't mean the rest of your vagina does.
No. Yeah, and your brain, because you're still stimulating the brain as well.
Yeah, and probably makes for a more dirty experience. Mind, got it down. Listen, I'm telling you.
And where can my listeners find this?
I mean, it's in a conceptual stage now, but they're gonna just keep following me on social media, and I'll keep giving updates. But sure, if you've got a great aunt or a grandparent, and you know she's kind of lonely, you know, women still have needs. You know, that's what the feminists say, and I'm like, I agree. So
I think we should Google some erotica, and you should give them a little taster.
Little sample, yeah, little sample. Let's see what I've got. I wouldn't,
as if you haven't got it by your bed.
I've been rehearsing. But I know, but I want a specific type. I want to cater to an underserved market, because I feel like, you know, 50 Shades really dealt with, like, you know, the silver vixens. But I feel like there's a woman that's like past 30, but not necessarily on a freedom pass.
Yeah.
And I just think there must be there's got to be a market there for that. You know, in the same
market
like there
is
for like.
Do this,
yeah, we could do it. I would invite you know, my members of my comedic community and my peers to come and read the same, because this is not about me doing anything sex related. In some ways, I'm doing the Lord's work, because I'm allowing people to practice abstinence, and also providing people with company and being friendly, and finally, and I'm not taking money from the elderly, just the dirty rich old ladies.
Well, you take a bit from the elderly.
I may do, but that will all be repaid back in tax.
And free for NHS workers?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, even a premium service. I mean, yeah, people might clap for the NHS, but they make their butt cheeks clap for the NHS. I might describe it on my channel.
So I feel like you've been doing a lot of thinking about this through lockdown.
Yeah, my isolation has been a very cerebral one, really thinking about how to innovate and new ideas on how to reach a potential audience.
I'm taking my time working out what to do with it as well, because I think you can just jump in straight away. Everyone's doing that. Like, you've got to wait your time, get a good idea like this.
Absolutely. And I still think, despite the fact that, you know, people are not able to perform live necessarily, I still think there are different ways in which we can innovate or adapt what we do and, you know, just not have to follow fashion.
Do you like the live gigs online?
I've not seen a lot of them, but I feel like a live gig for me is an oxymoron, in the same way that, like, if you practice Wii Fit, you're not trying to get fit. if you can't perform exercise in front of a computer screen, the Nintendo Wii was a farce. And if you're doing that, then you're lazy, because if you really cared about it, instead of buying a Wii board, you could have just had could have been doing step aerobics. So I really feel like, yeah, it's I just like to keep it honest and just kind of do what works. But I feel like a lot of people are signing up for like online gym classes and gym and tutorials at the moment. I even think then I'm somewhat cynical, and I feel like by people being able to pay £15 for a subscription, that's probably like 75% cheaper than a gym membership. And again, if you're watching a gym class online, no one knows if you're joining in.
No, there's no pressure, is there?
It just allows for a lot less pressure, a lot more procrastination, and maybe some faking. Like, for me, an online gym class is the same as like buying a fitness DVD from a reality star. He didn't do that.
Also, why are people signing up to those when there's so many classes on YouTube? Like, I don't understand.
Because it shows intention, so people think it's a bit more formal. It's like, you know,
so,
people that actually
so it's almost like actually doing
gyms.
It
yeah, yeah. It's also going to like a fancy gym. It's like, you know, a weight is a weight. Doesn't really matter if it's color coded or not. So
yeah. Have you been writing stand up since you've been in lockdown?
A little bit. I've been trying to write a little bit. I'm just trying to make it a point of principle by making my immediate experience now not the lion's share of the material that I'm writing, because probably one of the first times for a long time that everybody arguably will have completely relatable material.
Mm.
Because obviously we are all having a global shared experience. So being able to distinguish yourself will probably be a bit more difficult than it has been. A, because everyone's gone through it, and B, because we've all been confined to our homes, there's been nothing but the availability of comedians' interpretations of the experience on the internet already. So
yeah,
I think it's going to need a little bit more. So far, if you're going to be topical, you need a bit more time for reflection and stuff. But I'm writing some other stuff and trying to make other stuff work. But yeah, I just try and
see. I don't have to worry too much about that, because I mean, I can write jokes about what's happening now, but like, I don't really delve into anything with what I do. So jokes are jokes, really, with me.
It's cool. Yeah, cool work. It's called wordplay. It's good, man. It's good when you the work you're doing. It's the benefit of it is that it's relatively timeless. So
yeah,
you know.
But do you think there's going to be like just too much like material about this? People are just going to be sick of it.
Initially, yeah, I think this will be like the equivalent of like, you know, the Josef Fritzl revelation, or you know, Jimmy Savile. I think we're just in an industry whereby if something particularly either culture shifting or kind of scandalous comes out in the newspaper, I tend to stay away from it, because like comics and open mic comics and the like will go over it like, you know, sharks going for bloody chunks in water. So I leave the feeding frenzy for a bit, Mark, and then I'll do something on it.
Yeah. Once you've had time, see what happens, see how it plays out.
Yeah, hopefully positively, you know. And also, I mean, realistically, gotta make sure I pull through this thing first before I start doing material on it.
Yeah.
If I've got to choose, I'd rather do hack material than have people be doing a memorial for Dane Baptiste after the coronavirus.
So what were you working on before this all happened?
So I was recently working on a bit of observation about America. I tweeted it in the end, but I was saying it's weird how the aesthetic of the UK versus America has changed. Because there was a time where we could flippantly be like, well, we're not like Americans because we're not overweight and we are better than them at football. And we've now caught up with them to the point whereby now England hasn't had a king for years. America's got two, a tiger and a burger.
Nice. Current as well.
Exactly. And we can't even get a king because our prince wants to go to Pizza Express. So, and I feel like that's a more tactful way of approaching that particular topic rather than the more obvious stuff.
So had you tried that before the lockdown? Had you worked that stuff in?
No, I'd never tried it before. I was on tour before the lockdown. Essentially sticking to the script and with a few ad-libs here and there. But yeah, all the material that I've written since has been like new material. I've tried to make a point of principle of getting like pre-existing stuff into digital content and get that out there, and yeah, just push me to start writing newer stuff. So yeah, I've been working on quite a new things as well. Another idea I have was about blood transfusions and blood donation. And I'm just like, maybe the reason why it doesn't happen that often is because it's kind of boring, because blood only really comes in a few types, like A, B, and O, which is boring. And I think if human beings were allowed to name their own blood, they'd be more inclined to donate it.
So it's got like a brand.
Yeah, if I was like, you know, this is like, you know, sub-Saharan vampire cum, you want that in your veins. Right, maybe not that. Maybe not that one. Depends what kind of weekend you're going to have, Mark. But if there was a type of blood that was literally called penis diesel, you'd have that.
Yeah, 100%.
You'd have some penis diesel.
So when you're writing that, how are you coming up with those bits? Because penis diesel is quite... Like, how did you come up with penis diesel?
I feel like there might be a silly quip I may have said at one point. And then, I'm like, you know... And then sometimes I try and build around it. So I think it's like... So yeah, I kind of reverse engineer. So I'm like, penis diesel's funny. It's a funny term, funny word. And so I kind of reverse engineer the joke in how I can best arrive at that punchline.
Yeah, have you got more?
That's the process. So, I mean, I also realise that you can't spell Beyonce without once. And, I mean, I feel like there's some wordplay there I'm trying to work with.
Without once, Beyonce, yeah. Beyonce. But what's once got to do with it?
The amount of times I should be able to sleep with her before I get married.
I heard something about fiance and Beyonce. Fiance, Beyonce. I can't remember what that was.
Which is good. It's like not, and yeah, there's got to be a rhyme in there somewhere. It's just, at the same time, I have to be mindful of how I approach Beyonce things because hell hath no fury than the beehive angered.
Do you reckon she's following you?
Not yet, unless she's doing it under a pseudonym, which wouldn't surprise me.
No, sort of thing she'd do, I reckon.
That is classic Beyonce. I also, nominative determinism. I'm worried about, one thing I'm worried about in terms of material now is, like I said, it's A, being topical, and B, being conscious of audiences now. Because I found before tour and just most recently, it's not a bad thing, is that, you know, I'm in like my mid-30s now, a lot of the audiences that I'm seeing at comedy clubs are of a similar age. So some references are ringing more true than others to that audience. But then at the same time, I had a bit about Magic Johnson.
Okay.
And but I wasn't sure how people pick up it in the UK, where I'm just saying it's basically about when it comes to like nominative determinism, like some people are called butcher and baker. I think if you cure yourself of HIV and go on to be a multi-millionaire entrepreneur, that is the best example of nominative determinism I've ever seen. Because you definitely have a Magic Johnson. That might be more of an Americanism.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Magic Johnson.
Yeah, I just know that he was a basketball player for the Lakers and he was amazing. And then he had he came out as being HIV positive, and then he wasn't anymore. And I'm like, well, that Johnson is magic if you can cure yourself of AIDS. So,
I know nothing about this. Okay,
he faked it. Well, you know, he did fake. He was diagnosed with HIV positive, and then through just a this was like in the 90s, and then
yeah,
it didn't go, and then he put it into complete remission. And this was way before some of the more recent advances that we've had in antiretroviral drug and medication.
Mm.
Yeah, at the time when he did it, like HIV wasn't as livable as disease, so
no,
yeah, it was very significant. But I think that's more of an American show, an American joke. I'm not sure. I don't necessarily want to offend with it because I do like Magic Johnson.
Yeah, you haven't tried that with a UK audience.
I did try it with a UK audience at Old Rope. Stevenson's a very cool gig just before I went on tour. And it went down pretty well, but like, you know, you don't want to have to give too much exposition for your jokes.
I was going to say, did you have to sort of describe
I had to check that people knew who Magic Johnson was, but yeah, I don't think it's as close to their hearts as it would maybe go in America.
So when that happens, would you just put that to the side for when you do some American gigs, or would you just go no?
Maybe, but I also feel like it's my endeavour to try and make that understandable to a British audience as well.
Yeah,
because the joke's necessarily about one particular person. It's really about definitely more about the subject being about what's in the name basically.
Hmm.
And that might segue into something else. So, I have been working on a bit on names for like probably about 6 years.
Really?
Yeah, I've been working on this bit on names for 6 years and just trying to get it down because I don't want it to be like classist and too chauvinistic, but it is the point where I was kind of like, so one way I'd tell it when I would be like, I am in no place to judge and I wouldn't stigmatize someone for teenage pregnancy. So I said, there's nothing wrong with teenagers having kids. I'm just not sure if they should be allowed to name them. Then I was like, people give their kids names as if, like, you know, knowing full well that they themselves struggled with English and they give their kid that name. And also being like, if your child's name is the most complicated word on their CV, you've not done the best job. And also being like the observation that, like, actually most Hollywood A-listers, they don't have fancy names. Their kids have fancy names. So I guess the idea is that you need a famous name for them to be successful, but it's wrong. You actually give your kid a very mediocre name because then they get the complex about it and they feel more inclined to prove themselves as being special. Because most famous people have really regular names like Brad, Tom, Harrison, Merrill. Judy. They're all quite basic names, whereas they give their kids names like Fifi, Trixabelle, and Ocean. I think the only exception would be like River Phoenix. And, I mean, even Joaquin changed his name from Leaf. So.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. They were hippie parents, and so it was River and Leaf, and then he changed his name, I think, after his brother's untimely passing. So the name thing was trying to work that out as well. But I guess working out, I mean, there's a lot of potential in that, I guess, and how far that can travel. But I mean, it's a very...
Yeah, and then you'd leave that in, you'd mix those bits together as a topic.
Yeah, and see where they can bolt on, basically. So a big part of my process now sometimes is that I try to return to some older jokes and think there's something that segues into this a lot more smoothly than the previous material. Because I will try and make it a point, like, mechanically, that any bit that's really good... It should be strong enough to get 5 minutes out of that bit as well.
Yeah.
And to be able to extend the thread, because I guess it just means you have a much broader repertoire of material. And, like, you know, if you're doing, I guess, a mock the week or any topical show where you may have to riff on a particular subject for a while, then you've got a wealth of material there.
Yeah,
I
man.
I had a bit on cakes and stuff. I was like, I'm not sure what you can... Yeah, and muffins and the whole thing with, like, baked confectionery. So I was like, muffin is confusing because what gives a muffin its name? Because is it one I have at breakfast? And then if you could have both at breakfast, but how do we tell the difference between sausage muck and blueberry? Or bran? And then it's like, you know, I don't know the big difference between, like, a raspberry fall, a raspberry Kool-Aid, a blancmange, a sorbet. Then when it comes to pies... What determines what type of pie you're dealing with? Because, you know, like, how come you can put apple in a pie because it's a fruit, but you can't put tomato in a pie because then it becomes like a quiche? And I was trying to work out, and basically Jimmy Carr was like, that's very sound logic. Can't really argue with that one. Tell you what, though, Bake Off didn't say anything to me. I guess they found me too opinionated.
Well, they didn't approach you.
No, even though I was, you know, dissecting their whole business model, so I guess they weren't going to invite me on. It's fair enough.
Well, a bit left field.
You know, I mean...
Might be good. They got Fielding in there.
Yeah, you go. He's zany. He's different. I mean, my thing as well, but then it's, again, my whole thing is I'm not that much of a baked dessert person kind of thing, so... But then again, it'd be fun to do. I did find out that red velvet cake is just chocolate cake with red food dye.
No, wow. I didn't know that. Right?
And but it has an effect on the human mind, which makes it something else. Mm. In the same way that, like, you know, when they put green stuff in milkshakes, makes it taste a bit more minty on St. Patrick's Day.
Don't know. That news to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting a lot more surreal with my material, as you can see, Mark, over the last time. I'll be able to be out and experience stuff.
Oh, what's the St. Patrick's Day? What milk? What are they adding?
They add green dye to everything, so it's just because it's St. Patrick's Day. So
okay,
patron saint of Ireland, so they just add blue green to stuff to make it more palatable. I'm not sure how that works in for everything though. So if you've got like a vanilla milkshake, you put like green food dye in it.
Ah, right, I got you. Yeah. Can't do that with Guinness.
Well, I mean, you could, but just no one would notice.
They probably do. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, this is my. I've just got black poo with a green ring around the toilet. I'm trying to stay away from that type of humour now, Mark. I'm getting older now. I'm just trying to mature with it, really.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. Defo.
There's a way you can talk about sex as a comic on stage. Where it is funny or it is tongue-in-cheek, but there's a point where it's like, that's just creepy. And I'm trying to preemptively get away from that point.
Really? So, do you think as you get older it gets creepier?
I mean, it depends on your audience. And I'm just aware, like, you know, where I've done university gigs in, like, my 30s. Like, you know, you're dealing with people that might be 18 years old and I don't be like, oh, the problem with a woman is trying to get out of the bedroom. I can imagine how they'd interpret that, so...
The trouble is, I didn't realise I was so much older than them. It took me a while to realise that because I just always feel like that age.
Yeah, well, exactly. And you know, you're identifying people on that level, and also you get mature students. But it's best you realise before someone has to tell you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I carried on working at university after university. So I was like in the uni lifestyle for like 10 years after uni. And I'd go out like, because I worked at the uni in the sports department, I'd become friends with people that go to uni. And then I was like, I was still going to the uni nightclub when I was like 28, 29. And I just had to call it a day before people started talking.
Yeah, good. I see. That's a smart jurisprudent. You could have been like, I'm just doing my SIA qualification. I'm going to be a bouncer here. None of your goddamn business. But it's probably best to leave.
I don't think I could back that up.
Well, you know, they're kids. What do they know? They're idiots.
I could be twerking now if I'd have gone through with that.
Well, you know, it'd be a different type of club, but you could have, you'd have learned a new skill.
Yeah, might have been paying my bills during this lockdown.
I mean, you know, and you would have been different to a lot of strippers that, you know, they strip to in order to pay their tuition.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
What other bits have you got down?
All the bits I got down. So, other bits from my silly mind. Let's see. Some of the things might just be words as well.
just words.
Yeah. just a bit about, like, now I guess I'm getting older, and in the normal, and because I don't do stuff like go to nightclubs, the places where I notice beautiful women have changed significantly, and the kind of women I go for, like, I've noticed some very, very attractive women on the underground who obviously are not dressed provocatively, but I just still find them attractive and shapely, and I'd be like, oh girl, those corporate trousers and those orthopedic non-conductive boots, I know, man, but they made their butt look extra round. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I feel like a lot of your stuff's moving to, in as you're getting older, you sort of, it's got that as a bit of a theme now.
Yeah, and hopefully, like, the healthier side of being an old pervert at this particular point.
Yeah. Would you go anywhere else with that bit?
I think I can kind of build on it because it's a... Yeah, I just don't want it to be as simple as an objectification, but it's almost as if, like, where you'd get potential partners in, I suppose, a lot more sexier industries. Like, when, I guess, you'd meet a woman working in, like, leisure or hospitality, a waitress wouldn't be viewed in the same way as, like, you know, like a rail worker. But it's just, I guess it's more about finding beauty in any way. So I guess I'm researching that part to find what are the more, you know, I guess more banal or more conventionally unsexy jobs. And then trying to, and I guess, thinking about their aesthetic and what I found sexy about it. But I'm super serious about the whole thing about sexy ladies on the underground.
Yeah.
Oh, and a bit, and because I had a friend of mine, and then also the idea came from a friend of mine. It's because a friend of mine, his uncle was a bus driver. And then when we were in school, he'd be like, yeah, his uncle has like sex with women on the bus. And I was like, I don't know what I'd do if I met a girl who says she met her ex-boyfriend on the bus and had sex with him. I mean, I'm sure I'd be fine. But I was like, where is the aphrodisiac? It's like the guy's like, hey, why don't you come upstairs for some oysters? It's not the same kind of oysters you'd normally get. So
the
oyster wordplay was the thing. But yeah, so he used to, like, you know, meet ladies on the bus. Because remember, a bus, you already pay when you get on. It's not like you have to, like, pay your way out of it. Like in, like, a dubious porn setup. How am I going to pay for this taxi? I have a way. You already pay for a bus as soon as you get on. And I just thought, ah, no. What it is about a bus that would make somebody become aroused? Maybe there's a danger element. So yeah, it's just
no. There's the vibrations is a classic.
Could be, and you know, if you can, you can ring my bell is a euphemism.
Yeah,
that could definitely work for that. As does oyster.
And getting off.
Getting off. Got a pole as well.
Yeah.
Smash your back window in with me hammer. That's how they talk in the bus game. You know? Or, you know, I'm also... you and your friend can come upstairs through the old double-decker.
Yeah.
Open your top bus. There you go. Open top bus.
I don't know.
Yeah. The 69. How come when you want to, they don't come?
Yeah, and all of a sudden,
they all come at once.
Ah, we're on fire now, mate.
There you go. There's actually a lot of disgusting euphemisms available within for bus.
There are, yeah. I mean, a lot of those could work on the tube. No, I suppose not quite as on the tube. But would you go from bus to then talk about tube and then?
You
look at other jobs.
Yeah.
What about jobs that women do that were sort of traditionally men's jobs and then women do them?
I think I could definitely work. I think, I guess I'd have to effectively research that. Because, I mean, there are some jobs where, there's a massive lack of representation from women, which is, I guess, sanitation is one.
Yeah.
And I guess, and again, like working door work, like working as in security, probably is a lot more underrepresented than with women. And it's interesting to say that because I do have a bit where I was like, look, when you grow up in a certain environment, and a lot of gangster rap would suggest that like career opportunities would be stripping if you're a woman or selling drugs if you're a guy. And it's like, I don't want to sell the drugs. That's dangerous. I'd rather strip, thank you very much. So, you know, why can't I just run up to cars and like show them my balls or just do like drive-by lap dances and stuff? That'd be a lot easier.
Drive-by lap dances?
Yeah, or strippograms. What happened to those? Try and bring those back.
I don't know. What strippogram would just go and just do a dance and then leave? That's what strippogram, isn't it?
Yeah, so they strip and then they bring you a message.
So they'd
be like,
but years ago I went to a stag party and they had one.
We had my first university house party, we hired a stripper. My friend's birthday. Yeah. I made a house party and she came over and she dressed up like a police officer. And my friend thought it was a disturbance and she came in and was like, I need to come and search the premises. And then she was like, and everybody was like,
you?
I'm guilty, arrest me. I was just loving watching it all come together because my friend genuinely thought he was going to be arrested and deported because he was from Africa. And he thought he was going to be deported. I was like, oh, yeah, all right, buddy.
I had, when I was at university, there was a strip club in the local town and it was called ST1s, which looked like STIs on the sign.
Yeah, it's a really
which I always thought was
name,
funny.
Yeah,
and then,
really unfortunate.
And they had a student night on a Monday and all the students would go because it was like £5 for five bottles of Grolsch, which is like the cheapest you find anywhere. And then every dance was like a fiver. So like we used to go there all the time and I went so much, like just because that's what everyone did, that it just doesn't appeal to me at all now. I think
I had that once too. Once my local newsagent was selling his packets of Skittles for like 15p and I gorged on those too and then I don't eat Skittles anymore because I just got sick of them.
Really?
Yeah. In a way, it's like I see your stripper story like Skittles in that I want to taste the rainbow when it comes to strip clubs.
Yeah. I had a joke about a strip club that people didn't like. And I don't know whether... I mean, it's a long time ago. Something to do with I went to a strip club. I got kicked out of a strip club for touching a dancer between the legs. So I think instantly in that setup, it kind of puts the audience off a bit anyway.
Yeah.
And then what was the joke? I said, but I put 20 quid in a bra and assumed that's where the change would come out, which but I just don't know whether that's all right. Like, as a,
it's all right. It's all right. It's a cool pullback and reveal. It's just that you know, people are very so sensitive that just hearing the first part, like,
yeah,
very hard to get to that punchline. So it might be just be the wording of, rather than putting hand between her legs, it's like,
yeah, it's
open my hand underneath her legs, or open my hand in front of a stripper. Yeah, because I think there's that conflation of stripping with sex work, even though they are very exclusive, different jobs.
Yes. Because I think what happened, I think where I came to that was getting kicked out because I did it. Because when you go in one of those places, they just say you're not allowed to touch them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the way the joke. So there was like a comeuppance in the joke, was I got kicked out. And that's like a well-known thing that you're not supposed to touch the dancers. But then again, you're not supposed to touch. But yeah, that's the point, because with sex workers, you are allowed to touch them, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's definitely. I mean, they stipulate how you're able to, but
yeah.
And that being said, also some strippers are happy for you to touch them, but you know, everybody's different. There's no unified theory.
But yeah, so that one didn't work ever. I mean, that was a long time.
It does work, but it's just it's the premise and the setup. Obviously, people get very sensitive to that. But no, that definitely works.
Mm. As a technical gag.
Maybe you have to find I guess between the legs and the front maybe seems a bit invasive. Maybe you might be like, yeah, it's a slightly different way of where you necessarily put your hand.
I think on first when I did it, I said vagina, which I think that's why it definitely, that was even worse.
yeah, that's not good. That's not going to help it.
I was very naive and I didn't know a lot when I started.
Well, there you go. But at least you're coming from an innocent place, and that's all that matters. Is that your endeavour was to be funny and not trying to be edgy? So
exactly. We nearly ran out of time, mate. What have you got? Any other little bits?
Maybe a few other bits, and if not, you might help me with. Let's see. Oh yeah. So this is. You'll enjoy this, or you'll hate this. You might tell me to stay in my own freaking lane.
It's about Marmite.
No. Well, I had it. Actually, yeah, that's one point. First of all, on Marmite, my thing is, I don't understand why people love or hate Marmite, because it's disgusting. I hate it because it's yeast extract. Same. And yeast is only found in two other places I'm aware of. It's bread and alcohol, particularly beer, and also vaginas where the clothing is too tight around them. And why somebody would see that and be like, that would be good on my toast, I don't know. So people that like Marmite are weirdos. But then
the bit you were going to say.
No, but it reminded me, because then I'm saying there's a bit where it's like, I really feel like there are, you know, they say America's like the land of milk and honey, which I think is a really good way of describing their population. Because when you think about the way human beings as a species were able to discover both milk and honey, it's two very different type of people. You've got the people who are like, hey, man, I've got this shit. It's sweet. It's delicious. Good for you. And this doesn't even go off. How'd you get it? From a bee's nest. Shit, that's pretty fucking brave, man. I know there was bears, there's and everything. And then the other guy's like, hey, guys, this is milk. How'd you get that? Sucking another animal's tea. The fuck is wrong with you, John? And that's America in general.
That's good. That's a great bit.
So, well, yeah. So that's what I'm doing. And I got stuff to tweak, man. So... yeah, I'm hoping to emerge from this with at least 50 minutes of material.
Yeah, man. And then you've just got to do those new material nights, right?
That's it. And just have my little post-apocalyptic set good to go.
Yeah, would you break it all down into 10-minute bits for the new material, or would you just book in a load of like previews or work in progress?
I think I'll do a few big work in progress. If they set up normally at like some of the nice festivals and stuff, I can do work in progress. But then I normally kind of break it down one of two ways, either doing like a new material night like Old Rope, but then I'll sometimes just put it into a club set and just really test it at this stage, like experience wise, is you kind of know what stuff's going to work just through rhythm and just the speech pattern in terms of your delivery. Yeah. And then I'll put it in there just live and direct and just see how it stands up against my existing material. And then I get more active practice in terms of editing to get it into a segue or to get it to work to the same level as the rest of the material.
Yeah. Oh, and, nice.
That's normally the process, just to kind of test yourself live and direct.
Dane Baptiste!
Dane Baptiste.
There he is. Dane Baptiste tweets. Go check out Dane Baptiste tweets. Hashtag Awooga Dane. Hashtag Awooga to all the listeners. Thanks for tuning in. We'd very much appreciate it. Lots of listens lately, Joel. People are enjoying. Lots of nice comments. Lots of people sign up to Patreon, which is very nice. Some nice comments about our little mini podcast, Joel. Mark and Joel On Demand, where we chat about TV shows that we're watching at the moment on lockdown that are available and let you know what we think. I want to do one soon. We haven't really discussed how often we're going to do it, but I'm up for doing that quite regularly, Joel. I've been watching lots of stuff, so I'm going to challenge you to watch a few bits. And we'll put another one of those out soon. Also, lots of really good guests coming up. Some big hitters, as they say in the business, Joel. so make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of those. Any feedback for the episode at Jokes with Mark across all of social media. I don't want to do that part of it yet in case you have got something else, Joel. Technically, if I say anything more from you, Joel, and you have got more, we can come back to that later and you tell us what we want. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.